Good morning.
Morning.
There's quite a few of y'all jumped in here after I sat down. It's like, wow, y'all multiplied. That's awesome. That's great. It is good to be back with you. It's been not too long, but long enough since we've been back here at Pleasant Plains with all y'all. Just thank you so much for your warmth, hospitality, and your friendship. And like Brother Dave was talking about, my wife and I were going to celebrate 20 years on September 1st. And so I enjoyed coming in here and seeing how they swamped over my wife and saying, we missed you last time. 20 years with me, she needs all the encouragement she can get. So y'all keep encouraging her. As another brother said, she makes me look good. So. I know other husbands out there can relate to that, can't we, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you got your Bibles with you, I hope you do. Please turn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to look toward the middle of the chapter here, verses 19 to 21. There's actually a little bit more to this passage here. There's more that goes to it. And as I was studying it, I was like, I don't have enough time to cover all that. So I had to try to choose wisely and just focus a little bit more specifically on these three verses here. And there's some... It's a passage that really speaks to me. It keeps my feet on the ground as I'm here on earth, and hopefully it does with you too. So let me go ahead and read it here for our hearing. Jesus here is speaking. Verse 19. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a lot to say. A lot that can be said just from those few words in those three verses there. And Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, three of my absolute favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount here. And in Matthew 6, Jesus is addressing the motives of those who claim to serve God. He's really hitting hard in this specific chapter of the Sermon on the Mount here. Now he's warned against, as we look at the chapter, the whole chapter, he's warned against giving and praying and fasting in order to be seen, in order to stand out among the people. Now, we need to give. We need to pray. We need to fast. But we don't do it for show. Really. That's what he's warning against. And then he turns from religious praise over to material possessions. And how both of these become treasures of the heart. And we'll try to explain that here a little bit. We got to remember, when Jesus is speaking these, especially these three verses, he's not teaching that money and property and possessions, that they're evil. He's not saying that. He's not saying that things itself are evil. Nowhere does he say that. Actually, Scripture, it commends honest labor, wise stewardship, wisely handling those things that God has given us, being a good steward, and even providing for our households. All right, we need to take care of our families. The issue, what he's talking about here, is what we treasure. Those things that we treasure, and where we place our confidence, and especially what controls our heart. What is that controlling factor that drives us and moves us to do that? So Jesus, he's encouraging us to examine what we are storing up. To examine that and why that matters eternally. I don't know if you ever thought about that. What we do, where our heart is on earth, how it affects us eternally. And does it affect us eternally? Does it matter? That's what Jesus is addressing here, in these three short verses here. He starts off by telling us not to build our lives around earthly treasure. We can't do that. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now let's break that down a little bit. This phrase, lay not up. Lay not up. What does that mean? It means don't keep accumulating things in the pursuit of life. Okay? Life is not about what you get, it's about how much you give. You ever thought about that? It's not how much we get, it's how much we give. That's what the Lord's looking at. Can't take a U-Haul to heaven. Can't take a suitcase with you. U-Haul too much, can't even take a backpack. Okay? It all stays here. It all stays here. Let your kids fight over it after you're long gone, right? Unfortunately, that's a truth. Sometimes truth is funny. So lay not up. Now Jesus, know this though, Jesus is not forbidding every form of saving. Okay, he's not forbidding that. Actually, in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, Solomon's talking about the ant. If you never read those verses, read that, the ant. He's praising the ant because she prepares for me and then also prepares or gathers food. Prepares for meat in the summer and gathers food for the harvest. So, preparing, right? Saving up. Even Scripture says it's good. But what Jesus is talking about is being is practicing prudent preparation in a biblical form. In a way that honors God. Not honors ourselves, but honors God. Prudent preparation. And the warning here from Jesus, it concerns selfish hoarding and misplacing our trust in things, in a thing and not a person, the person of Christ. And he's also warning against a life organized and built around and lived around earthly gain. That's not why God put us here on earth. He didn't create us to just receive and receive and hoard and accumulate and keep and guard. That's not what we're built for. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves. Now he's exposing here the self-centered purpose behind accumulation. Do not lay up for yourselves. Okay, you're accumulating all this stuff, but especially don't do it just for you. Okay, don't do that. Earthly treasure becomes dangerous when I view it as mine. As all mine. When I'm using everything I have for me, for myself. You get where I'm going with this now? And I dare not forget that I am to be, and only to be a steward, a good steward, a prudent steward, of those things that God has given me. I haven't created anything myself. Nothing. Not the clothes I'm wearing. Not anything. I was talking to Brother Ronnie about the metal in my body that put my bones back together and it busted them up. Even our children. God-given. God-given. So what I possess has been entrusted to me by God himself. He's given me, my wife and I, children. We are caretakers of God's gifts. We have a few bucks in the bank, my wife and I. We are caretakers of what God has given us in that bank account. So what I may hold temporarily, I don't own it eternally. It's temporary. Again, I'm not taking a suitcase to heaven. I'm not taking a backpack, nor my checkbook. And Jesus now, he names three threats here. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Let's look at those. That is so interesting to me. What about a moth? A little bitty moth. I hate moths. I'm a gardener. I love my fresh organic vegetables in our pretty big garden. I kill every single moth I can. Why? They make baby caterpillars. And baby caterpillars eat my tomato plants. And they eat my cabbage. And they, not mine, what the Lord has given me, right? Better be careful that my word. The moth. What do they do? What's Jesus referring? Why is that so important here in the first century? Because moths destroy clothing. That's why. I remember my grandparents. They had mothballs everywhere in their house. Now, their house was over 100 years old, okay? But they had mothballs everywhere. Why was that? Because my primitive Baptist grandfather, he loved wearing suits. He got a new suit every year. Every year, that was his treat for himself. Got a new suit for church. And they had mothballs all in that closet to protect those clothing. Same thing here, first century. In the ancient world, just as now, but ancient world especially, fine garments are really nice garments. Didn't have to be fine. But fine garments especially showed wealth. It showed that you had some money. It showed you have some dignity in your bank account, ancient bank account. But this tiny little insect could ruin all that fine clothing. What about rust? We know all about rust, don't we? Not as bad as people live on the coast. Or even where it snows and get all those salt trucks. They got rust all in their cars, don't they? But rust, what does it do? It corrodes, doesn't it? It eats away, actually. It eats away at that metal and everything. Something that can be eaten away. So metal can corrode. Possessions can decay. Even the grain, especially back then. The grain could spoil. That's not rust, but the same things that cause rust would spoil grain too. So rust, corrode it, eat it away, and thieves break through and steal. That pictures robbers digging through the wall of a house. They didn't have nice little windows like we do in our homes. Okay, you actually had to dig through the adobe or the mud or the clay or whatever that house was built out of. Even the sticks. And the organic things that made up those houses. They had to dig through it. And that's why he says, where thieves break through and steal. They can come in there. And they dig through that to take what? What has been stored, guarded, accumulated inside that house. So everything on earth is vulnerable. Everything on earth. Even diamonds can. Diamonds, what? One of the hardest minerals we got, the hardest, it can be cut. So everything is vulnerable. Now Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. This right here, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now Paul is not saying that having money is a bad thing. Having money can be a great thing if you use it wisely and prudently and generously. It's a wonderful thing. I know some people with a lot of money and they give and support and uplift others by what God has given them. So Paul's not saying having riches is a bad thing. He's saying don't trust in what? Uncertain riches. That means riches are uncertain. Ask the people in October, what was it, 29th, 1929 or something like that. 1929, October, Black Friday, I think. Not Black Friday, Black Tuesday. Black Tuesday. The start of the Depression. Everything changed. Within hours, people were selling everything, getting everything out of the bank account. 2008, everything dipped. 2026, not looking good. Starting to feel like 2008 again. Riches can be taken away. They're uncertain, but God is living and faithful and certain. We can trust in Him, not in our own riches. So we should ask, what occupies our planning of things? What occupies our anxieties? What occupies our ambitions in life? We need to be asking ourselves those things. Are we working faithfully, or are we seeking security apart from God? A lot of people trust in their own things. That's dangerous. Now, let me ask you this. Do you possess your possessions, or do your possessions possess you? People are saying, oh, got my toe that time, Brother Stephen. I feel like I'm preaching to me, not to y'all, okay? Preaching to me. So we should use money responsibly and enjoy God's gifts, but do it gratefully. Enjoy God's gifts gratefully, with a grateful heart. As I love to say, get you some vitamin G. Vitamin G, gratitude. Gratitude. And then we need to hold all these earthly things loosely, for they can be taken away easily. We got an outbuilding at our house that we, my wife and I spent hours cleaning that thing out. I told her, well, we got all this space. Now we can buy more stuff and put it there. She gave me a dirty look. But we have, going back to our outbuilding, we spent years filling that building up with stuff. Some of y'all giggling because y'all know what I'm talking about, because you do it too, don't you? But what do we discover? If you don't do it right, over time, moisture and insects and just time have worked hard to ruin those things that you have worked hard to preserve in that building. And that's happened to us. Earthly treasures, I've discovered, come with an expiration date on them. I'm really finding that out with my truck. That's sitting dead in my driveway right now. I got the pipe, that tube, I need to fix it, but now there's something else wrong. I got to Advance Auto tomorrow to do that. But I digress. But even those things have expiration dates. Everything on earth has an expiration date. We have expiration dates. The number one killer in the world, or number one thing in the world leading to death, is birth. You ever thought about that? Birth, it leads to death. Then what does Jesus say? He said, don't do these things. Don't store up these things. But in verse 20, he says, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. That word, but, it introduces a positive command. Jesus gave us the bad news, now he's giving us the good news. But, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He just doesn't, he's not telling us just what to stop doing. Okay? He's telling us what to pursue, what to go after. We are to lay up treasures in heaven. That means investing our lives in what God values and what eternity preserves. God values these things that we need to pursue, these treasures in heaven. And they are eternally preserved. Now, don't get me wrong, and I want to make this clear, and y'all know this. Heavenly treasures do not purchase salvation. That's not the same thing. We're not purchasing a treasure of salvation. That treasure has been gifted to us by grace. And then, not by works, not what we have done, but by grace. What is heavenly treasure? That's the fruit of the life turned toward God. The fruit of the life turned toward God, with a heart turned toward God. That's the heavenly treasure. It includes faithful obedience, mercy, generosity, service, prayer, labor for the glory of Christ, God's Son. Those are heavenly treasures that we need to grasp. Because when we give to those in need, when we support the gospel, when we serve without seeking our own recognition, when we use our abilities for God's glory, all those things up there, we are investing in treasure that will not perish, that moth and rust and thieves cannot take away when we do those things in God's glory, for God's glory. Earlier in Matthew 6 and verse 4, Jesus said this, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. What's Jesus talking about here? It's God sees what regular people overlook. God still sees those things. No act of faithfulness is forgotten by God. It's not. God sees those things. We don't need to make a show of it. He's already talked about this in Matthew 6. Don't make a show of fasting and giving and praying. Do those things in secret. Why? Because the Lord the Father sees what you do in secret. And that's security. That's security. When we make investments, we like what? What kind of investments? Secure investments, don't we? Security. Heavenly treasure is secure because the location of those treasures is secure. If it's heavenly, it's secure because it's God's. It's the Father's. Moths, they can't reach it. Rust can't consume it, and thieves can't steal it. They don't exist in heaven. So they're secure. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15. And he said this, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What you do in the Lord is not in vain. It is not wasted. That's what he's saying here. So what does that mean for us? I already gave you some ideas of what it looks like. It means we should always be diligent in how we direct our time, our money, our attention, and even our abilities. Direct all that toward heavenly purposes, toward honoring God, serving God, and everything. So we should ask, will this matter when we do something? I call it a filter. Will this matter in eternity? Does this honor Christ? Does this bless others? So before you do something, think about that. Does this have eternal purposes? Meaning, is it Christ honoring, and is it edifying to others? Will it honor Christ? Will it edify others? If not, it's entertainment maybe. Nothing wrong with entertainment. To an extent. That's a whole new thing. I'm not even going to open that can of worms. What about a meal given in love? Especially in the South, someone passes away, we like to feed the family, don't we? We do that out of love. They're going through so much out of our hearts and the empathy / sympathy we have for them. We want to feed them. Probably the last thing they're thinking about is that. Our hearts are turned for them. That's good. That's good. A private prayer. A good lesson taught to a child. I tell my kids, this is a life lesson. I call it life lessons when I'm teaching them. How to change oil. That's a life lesson. But other life lessons of edifying others. Even just the quiet act of serving someone can have eternal value in it. And I'm not talking about getting cool points with God. That's not what I'm talking about. But we are commanded to care for one another. And they have these unofficially called one another's in the Bible. There's like 90 of them, I think, or so. About how to treat one another as God would have us treat them. These have eternal value. They're investments, like I said. Imagine two people planting. I'm on this gardening kick now. We're right in tomato and cucumber and pepper season. So. You got two people. One plants artificial flowers. They look pretty for a while, don't they? They look pretty for a while. And then that's really all they're good for. But then the other, what I like to do, try to do, we plant seeds below the soil, cover them up, and you can't see them anymore, can you? That doesn't look impressive. Nothing to look at there. But beneath that soil, it's producing life. It's producing something. And something is growing out of that and being fruitful from that. So eternal investment, these eternal investments I'm talking about now, this obedience and service and prayer and feeding families and worshiping God, even in quiet. So that God sees our heart. All these things, they might seem hidden now. But God will reveal its fruit. He will reveal its fruit. Just like a seed being planted. Just like a seed being planted. And then finally, Jesus, he's telling us here, verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is he saying? Recognize that your treasure directs your heart. Because he's given a reason here for both these commands. Here. It's because our treasure and our heart are inseparable. Inseparably connected. That's what they are. He says your heart. Now that's important, especially in first century Israel here. Palestine, area of Palestine, Galilee, all those areas there. Because in Scripture, it's not like here when, in modern times, when we talk about our heart, we think emotion, right? When you think about your heart, oh, that fills my heart with joy. Oh, my heart is broken. That uplifts my heart. My heart is heavy right now. They're all associated with emotion, right? Well, that's not wrong. But if you're a first century, if you're listening here on the Mount to Jesus, you're not thinking heart equals emotion. They're thinking something different. To them, your heart is the center of your thought. It's the center of your desire. It's the center of your affections and your will and your devotion. It's all led by your heart. Your heart was everything. It was everything. The heart now directs the life of the believer. And that's why Jesus is pointing out the heart here. And notice that Jesus says that our heart will follow our treasure, not the other way around. Now look at that spiritually. We often think that we must first feel more spiritual. We got to feel spiritual before we live differently. A lot of people do that. A lot of denominations, churches do that. You got to feel. Got to get those feelings in there. Now, feeling ain't bad. Okay, we have two brains, really. A thinking brain and a feeling brain. I'm reading a book about that. It's very interesting. You need to ask me during lunch. That was not the time. But we often think we ought to feel more spiritual before things can be different. It's not based on a feeling. Okay. But yet Christ here, he's teaching that where we place our treasure, that heart will increasingly go. Where we focus that treasure, our heart automatically leans to that. And what we consistently invest in, that will capture, not only capture, but it's going to reveal our interests and our affections. Those things that are important to us. That's what Jesus is saying here. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. That's what's important to you. So this truth is both two things. It's a warning and it's an encouragement. Some don't see it that way. It's both. It's a warning and encouragement. What's going to happen to my heart? Let me give you an example. What's going to happen to my heart if I continually invest in possessions and status and entertainment and comfort? If that's my sole focus, what's going to happen? I'm going to become rooted in the world. Yep. I'm going to grow roots and set firm in the world if those are my priorities and my treasures. Paul told the Colossians, set your affections on what? Things above, not on things on earth. Set your affections. In other words, set your heart on things above, not on things on earth. And when he said set, that's deliberate direction. On purpose. Do this on purpose. Set your heart that way. Being mindful, being heavenly mindedness is not accidental. It's not accidental. Many times, especially for me, and for many of y'all, I'm sure, it's got to be purposeful. We got to make ourselves do these things. And you want to identify what's important to you? Here's a fun trick. Look at your calendar. Look at your calendar. Look at your spending. Look at your thoughts. Look at your conversations. You want to know what's important to you, examine those things. I use my calendar all the time. Usually, 80% it's fixing stuff. We live on a little homestead, so it's got to repair something. We live in an old house on a lot of property and old cars. So. And somewhere in there, I got my family mixed. But don't get me wrong, they are my treasure too. They're a little bit more self-sustaining than some broken cars. So we can identify our treasures just by looking at all those things. And then after we do that, we need to ask ourselves, what do I fear the most to lose? What sacrifice feels totally impossible for me to make? What can I not live without? Or what do I daydream about the most? Where does my mind go? Where do my thoughts go the most in these things? These questions here is going to reveal the condition of your heart, where your heart has settled. So, many folks, many of us, we need to stop asking God to change our feelings. And instead, we should be placing our treasure, the treasure God has given us, placing that where God wants our hearts to be. That's what we got to focus on. Give generously. Pray faithfully. Serve faithfully. Spend time in Scripture. Invest in people. Invest more in people and less in things. We got to invest in people. We're getting so far away from that. In this digital world, I tell you what, Facebook broke. I'm not saying Facebook's sincerely bad, but when Facebook really came out, we got less relational and more digital. Different. Things like that happen. So, as we direct our treasure toward God's kingdom, our hearts are naturally going to be trained to value on what the Lord values. We should want the things that God wants and hate those things that God hates. Jesus preached that all through his ministry, and we should too. Let me give you one more gardener thing. So as a gardener, I'm naturally going to think about the ground where I plant these seeds. Right? Soil health is so important. Brother David can tell you all about that. I do a lot of volunteering with my extension office doing these things. That's my investment, planting that seed in the ground. Maybe throwing some water on it if it's not raining. Because then after I do that, then I got to start watching the weather. I got to start keep checking the soil. I got to keep looking for growth. I got to keep doing these things after that investment. Notice how my attention followed my investment. Notice how the things that I started caring about and doing followed where I placed that little tiny treasure in the soil. It naturally followed that. That's what Jesus is saying. Because in the same way, our hearts keep returning to the place that we place our treasures. They're interconnected. They're inseparable. And Jesus is teaching that clearly. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where are our hearts? Where are our treasures? Are they on earthly things that can be corrupted and stolen and ruined? Or are they on heavenly things that cannot be taken away? So Jesus calls us to live with eternity in view, not temporary things in view, but eternal things in view. Because earthly treasure is temporary. Heavenly treasure is secure. And our treasure, if you remember anything this, if you remember anything, remember this, that our treasure reveals the direction of our hearts. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about everything that God has given us to be good stewards of what he has given us. So let's hold on loosely to the world. We're in it, but we're not of it, right? We like to say that, and I believe it. We're in it, but not of it. So let's do that loosely. and strive to serve Christ faithfully and invest our lives in what cannot be taken away or ruined. And those are the heavenly things that God has given us to invest in today for His glory and His pleasure.
Amen.
I thank you for your time and attention. I pray that God will richly bless you in this week to come.